Well, thank you for being here. It's such a great day to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, I'm going to share what I think is one of my top 10 favorite Bible stories. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go into the Old Testament book of Numbers. If you're not sure where that's at, it's the fourth book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, everybody, Leviticus, Numbers. Okay, Numbers, and we're going to look at two chapters. Don't worry, we're not going to read word for word. We're going to do a lot of highlighting. But we're going to look at chapters 13 and 14. Before we look into these chapters, I want to set the table for our text this morning. I want to bring us all up to speed with what's going on as we enter into chapter 13 of this great book of Numbers. And that is the children of Israel. Have you heard of the Israelites? They're God's chosen people. But strange enough, we read in throughout Genesis into the book of Exodus, for 400 years they're in captivity. They're in slavery in the land of Egypt. The first couple of chapters of the book of Exodus, we hear that the people begin to cry out to God for deliverance. And we're told that God hears their cry. So what does God do? He raises up a leader. He raises up a leader. And the leader's name is everybody at once, Moses. Moses is God's man for the moment who's going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into freedom, okay? And Moses goes and he goes before Pharaoh. You know the story of the plagues and how they're led out. But one of the final steps of deliverance is the children of Israel are been released and they're standing right there at the edge of the Red Sea. And they look back and they find out that the Egyptians had a change of mind. And they're going to go and they're going to try to catch them. And right before them is the Red Sea. And what does God tell Moses to do? He says, Moses, raise your what? Your staff. And at that moment he raises his staff, the waters begin to open. It's a great, great story. And the Bible tells us that about a million people, the Israelites, they go through the river or through the Red Sea as though they were walking on what? Dry ground, okay? And just about the time they get out and the Egyptians are pursuing them, what happens is the waters of the Red Sea come over the enemy and they are what? They're delivered, okay? This is what a lot of people may not know. Immediately after coming out of the Red Sea, they enter into a land called, it's the land of Mount Sinai. It's where Mount Sinai is located. And that's where these people would stay for about the first year of their deliverance. They're in Mount Sinai, that area. And if you know the story of the Bible, it's at Mount Sinai that Moses goes up to the mountain. Do you know the story? Yeah, you know the story. And it's there that God gives him what? The Ten Commandments, the law, okay? So God gives him the Ten Commandments there at Mount Sinai to show the people. And I want you to hear this very carefully. Excuse me. This is how you're going to live in peace. This is how you're going to live in harmony. If you follow these Ten Commandments, you as a people will be able to coexist together in peace and harmony. And that's what God's heart was for those people. So he gives them the Ten Commandments. So they're staying in this area for a year, and then they pick up and they move forward because what they're on is they're ultimately on a journey to the land of Canaan, which is also called the what? The Promised Land. It's the land God promised their ancestor Abraham years ago in the book of Genesis. Now they're going to leave and they're going to go and they're on their journey to the Promised Land, okay? Their first stop in the Promised Land is a land called the Wilderness of Paran. P-A-R-A-N, the Wilderness of Paran. And it's here that we're going to pick up our story. So they've been led out of Egypt through the Red Sea, get the Ten Commandments. They leave Mount Sinai. Now they're in the wilderness of Paran, and that's where we pick up the story today, okay? So let's look at chapter 13 if you have your Bible. If you don't, there's one in the pew in front of you. If not, there's a screen above you that has the verses we're going to be looking at today. And what I want to do is I want to get away from reading every verse of both of these chapters. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of give you an outline of chapter 13. 4 points I want to just point out to you from chapter 13. Number one, in the very first two verses, God is going to give Moses and Aaron and the people, what's he going to give them? He's going to give them a command followed by a promise. And I want you to read that. I do have this scripture because I think it's very important that we see it. God gives them a command followed by a promise. It says, "The Lord now said to Moses," so they're in the wilderness of Paran on their journey. He said, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan." That's the command. He says, you're going to send out men, and those men are going to be leaders. And there's going to be 12 leaders, 12 spies, each one representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And you're going to send them out to explore this land that I promise that I'm going to give you, because that's the command. But look at the promise. It's the land of Canaan, the land that I'm going to give to the Israelites. So I want you to see here right away is that there's a command to go, but there's the promise that, hey, I'm going to give you this land. The promise is I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to fulfill my promise that I gave all the way back to Abraham. You're going to be able to see the fulfillment of this promise. But the first thing you need to do is you need to go into the land. And what he does is Moses gives these 12 leaders, these 12 spies, instructions to follow when they go into the land. Because what we're going to see is they're going to go on a 40-day journey into the land to spy out the land. And Moses gives them a list of instructions. First of all, he says, make sure you watch to see if the people are strong or are they weak. Are there a lot of people, few, or are there many? Do their towns have big walls of protection around them, or are their cities unprotected like open camps? How about the soil? When you get there, check out the soil. Is it good soil? Is it fertile soil, or is it poor? He said, even look around, see if there's trees in the land. I want you to really look around while you're scouting out the land for the next 40 days. Look what's going on. And he said, even this, he said, hey, when you're there, it's going to be harvest season. Even begin to take some of those crops and bring the crops back so everybody can see the beauty of this land, okay? So what happens, he gives these instructions to the spies, and then they send out the spies on the mission, verses 21 through 24. And here's one of my favorite verses, verse 23. It says, when they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes that was so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. Let's look at the picture. So they go out, and this is a good land. I mean, the grapes are huge, so huge that two guys had to have a pole between them to carry the fruit, okay? So what he's trying to show them in this is that this land that I'm promising you is a prosperous land. It's going to be a great place for you to live. It's a lot better than Egypt. It's a lot better than the wilderness. This land that I promise you is a place that certainly the real estate is high. This is a great, great place to live, okay? Let's go on to the last part of this chapter, and that is the spies come back. They've been out on their journey for 40 days. And they're going to come back and they're going to stand before Moses, Aaron, and this great amount of people, the congregation of Israel. Okay? And these 12 guys get up and they're standing before all these people and they begin to give the report of what they saw, what they experienced. And here's the report. Number one, they tell the people, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? He's saying it's a land that's bountiful. It's not barren. Evidence is in how big these grapes are. This is a good place. This is going to be a great place for us to live. There's grocery stores on every corner. Okay? And it's all free. Doesn't that sound great? So it's a land of prosperity. It's going to be a great place to land. So they start out with a great report. And I'm sure all the people are like, wow. We can't wait to get there, okay? But the report at that moment begins to take a change. There's a change. Number two, this is what they report to the people. It says, the people living there are powerful. Everybody say powerful. Powerful. Listen to what they said. We even saw giants there. We saw the descendants of Anak, A-N-A-K. And if you were to do a study on those people throughout the Old Testament, you'll find out that these were men who were very, very famous for their size and their strength. So these guys were like a lot of offensive linemen in the NFL. I mean, they were the big guys, strong, big. And when they started hearing that report, there began to be an attitude change. And then they add one more negative. It said their towns are large, but they're gated. There's walls. They're fortified, okay? So as the people are listening to this report from these spies, fear begins to grow. Fear begins to grow. And what happens is their focus begins to shift. Their focus shifts from the promise that God said, hey, I'm going to give you this land. And their focus shifts from the promise to the giants, to the large fortified cities. I don't know about you, but it always amazes me that we have a human tendency to focus on what? The negative. Have you figured that one out yet? I know a lot of people, including myself at times, we could have 99 great things happening in our life, 99 things that we can say, thank God you have blessed me. God, I have great health. I got a great family. I have a roof over my head. I got this. I got that. But then one thing negative shows up. And why is it human tendency at those times to focus on what? The one thing. That's just human nature. That's our sin nature, wanting to focus on the one thing, the negative, instead of the positive. So the people are getting really discouraged at this time. But there was one of the spies in their midst. And this is a great, great story. There's a spy whose name is, does anybody know his name? No one. No one's read this story before? Everybody say Caleb. Oh, we got a Caleb here today. That is a great name. That is a great name if you're going to have kids in the future and a boy, Caleb. Because Caleb is different than the other guys. Actually, we're told that it's more than just Caleb. There's another man named Joshua. But Caleb's the spokes guy, okay? So what he does is there's a whole bunch of noise. There's a whole bunch of disgruntled people. There's a whole bunch of murmuring. There's a whole bunch of complaining. They're just mad at God. But Caleb, the Bible says, look at verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. I love his language. He said, let's go at once to take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. I love the language there. There's two phrases that are made up of two words. The first one is, let's go. The second one is what? We can. So let's everybody repeat those together with some enthusiasm. I'm glad we're having a great time over here. Let's have a great time over here. You guys over here will be, let's go. You guys over here will be, we can. So, we can. Okay, we can switch it. Let's go. We what? Okay. This is fun. Church can be a lot of fun, right? I love the language. Let's go. We can. Let's go. We can. But how about the other 10 spies? They received the exact promise. They saw the exact same things. Listen to what they said in verse 31. We can't. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. Then they continued this bad language. They said, the land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, this is comical. Next to them, we felt like what? Grasshoppers. This is the best line, one of the top comical lines of the Bible, and that's what they thought too. So now they're into mind reading. Isn't it amazing what happens when we allow fear, doubt, unbelief to take root in our lives? Isn't it amazing when we allow those things, our thoughts begin to run wild? Our thoughts can begin to dominate us. Our thoughts can prevent us from being able to even focus on the things that we should be focusing on. Why? Because of fear and doubt and unbelief. Isn't it amazing when we begin to focus on those things that there's nights that we can't even fall asleep because there's one thing in my life and it is so big and God, I can't even sleep tonight because my mind is raging so quickly of all the things that are going on. Isn't it amazing what happens when we begin to focus on the negative things in our lives? So this is what happens as we come to the close of chapter 13. We see two spies that are named Caleb and Joshua. These are two guys that are full of confidence. They're just oozing with confidence. They are so confident that God will save them. They are full of confidence in God. They're full of confidence in the promises of God for their lives. I do want to note something we need to make sure that we know this. Their confidence wasn't in themselves. Did everybody hear what I said? Their confidence wasn't in who they were. Or in who they were, yes. It wasn't in them. Their confidence was in who? Everybody say God. There's a pastor down in Texas. His name is Pastor Ed Young. He calls this, and here's the word. Let's look at this word. Godfidence. It's not really a word, but I know what he's saying. You know what I want for you and me is that we would walk around with some swag. And it's not because you look at me, I'm so good looking. It really has nothing to do about us, but it has all to do about who? About him. Wouldn't it be great if we had some swag because we have Godfidence? Knowing that he is with us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? I wish I could just kind of come in next to you, open up your mouth, and just shove it down, okay? But that probably wouldn't be the godly way of doing it. But we need Godfidence. We need some people walking around knowing that God is with them. I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? Amen. So there were two in that boat. Then there were 10 that were full of doubt, unbelief. Notice that's the majority. It always seems to work that way. The majority of people doubt, unbelief. Oh God, look how big my problem is. Instead of telling your problem how big God is. So whose report do you think the people believed? The 10 or the 2? The 10. Heather, I want you to read the next 4 verses for us real quick.
Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained.
Rebellion breaks out. Why? Because they begin to listen to the 10 negative people, filled with doubt, murmuring, complaining. We can't do it. Look how big they are. Look how strong they are. Look what's against me. You're hearing what the people say, we'd rather go back to slavery. Think about that, everyone. They're saying we would rather go back to being a slave in Egypt. We would rather go there than we would to receive God's promise and enter the land of Canaan. And what happens in the midst of their great opposition? Caleb is the man again. Caleb stands up again and says these words. Look at the words on the screen. Because listen, people are making a lot of noise. We're talking about over 1 million people upset. Caleb gets up. He takes courage. He says, do not rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid. Everybody say those 3 words together. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But here's the deal. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. So twice Caleb says this. Hey guys, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And here's why you don't need to be afraid, because the God who is Almighty God, he is for us, not against us. Don't be afraid. And I want to let you know the people didn't like Caleb and Joshua. Actually, if you read the text, the people, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to pick up stones and begin to stone and throw rocks at Caleb and Joshua for stepping up and standing up for God and his promises. That's what they wanted to do. And as a result, I want to let you know, God got very upset. He was upset when he realized they gave him the promise, but they weren't willing to obey the promise. He got upset to the point that if you read the text, you're going to find out, what did God want to do? He wanted to wipe these people off the map. That's how upset God was. But thank God for a godly leader named Moses. You know what Moses did? He fell to the ground, face down, and he began to weep. He began to pray with intensity. He began to intercede for the people and said, God, you can't do this. These are your people. Please, God, spare these people. Spare them, God. And he begins to say, Lord, would you pardon them of their sins? And guess what happens? God listens to the prayer of Moses and he pardons the people. But here's the deal. Even though they were pardoned of their sin, I want you to hear this very closely. There were consequences. Let's look at some of the consequences. Verse 22, chapter 14. God said to Moses, not one of these people will enter the land. Not a single one of these guys that were rebellious, not one of them will enter the land. Look at verse 23. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. So first he says they're not going to enter. Now he says they're not even going to see it. And then he says this, you will drop dead in the wilderness. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older will die. So at that moment, everybody that was 20 or older, they were going to die before there was ever the promised land. By the way, at this time, Caleb is reported to be, through scripture, 40 years old. Okay? But everybody 20 or older are going to die in the wilderness as a consequence to their sin. Then he says, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness 40 years, one day for every year, and you're going to suffer the consequences for your sin. And then listen to this. Those 10 men that came back and they stirred up this rebellion, guess what happened? Those ones who incited the rebellion and gave this bad report, they were struck dead with a plague at that day right before the Lord. That was the consequences. But look at the consequences for Caleb and Joshua. Verse 24, I will bring him, I will bring them into the land they explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. And here's the deal. If you jump ahead, it's the book of Joshua. If you jump ahead to the book of Joshua, when the people finally did enter the promised land, the report is that Caleb was what? 85 years old. The day he entered the promised land, 45 years later, he entered the promised land. And the Bible says he was as strong and healthy and vibrant as the day as when he was 40. Here's my question for the day as we conclude. You can shut your Bibles because this is where I want to get just kind of right in your face. What made Caleb different than the other 10? What made Caleb different than the majority? I want you to look at this verse. It's God speaking to Moses, verse 24. God says, but my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit. He has a different spirit. How many people know we're all made up of body, soul, and what? Spirit. Caleb had a different spirit than the other 10. By the way, that interpretation of that spirit could be he had a different attitude. Another interpretation is he had a different personality. I mean, we hear it all the time. That person has quite a different spirit. And that's what God said of Caleb. He had a different spirit than the others have. And listen to this last part. He has remained loyal to me. Caleb's spirit was different than everyone else's. His attitude was different than everyone else's. His personality was different than everyone else's. He believed God. Is everybody's books all, are we all closed up here? Because I want you to just listen to me for 5 minutes as we close. I want to ask you a question. Question is this, what kind of spirit do you have? What kind of spirit do you have? Do you have a spirit like the 10 spies? Do you have a spirit like the majority of people that we live in the world with today? Do you have a spirit of doubt, fear, unbelief? God, I know you promised that you'll provide all my needs, but God, I don't believe it. God, I know you promised that you would be with me, but I sure don't feel like you are. God, I know you promised that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but I'm just not seeing it. What kind of spirit do you have? Is it doubt, fear, unbelief? Because what happens when we have that spirit is this. It keeps us from experiencing God's best. It keeps us from being able to experiencing the promises of God. A big part of the Bible is made up of promises that God gives to his children. And if you have faith in Christ and you're in His family, these promises are for you. What spirit do you have? Doubt, fear, unbelief, or do you have the spirit of Caleb? You're confident. You have Godfidence. You have a I can do attitude. You have that attitude, that spirit that, you know what? I believe all things are possible. It sure doesn't look like it right now. My current reality is it's a mess, but I believe that all things are possible, regardless of how big the enemy seems to be in my life. That kind of spirit, that kind of attitude allows you to experience God's best and His promises for your life. So as you go into another week, there's going to be enemies. There's going to be things that look bigger than you. And there's going to be things that you don't think you can do. There's going to be things that God calls you to do. I want to be honest with you. There's days that I just want to, I'd take any other job in the world. You can have this job. The opposition seems so big. It just seems like God leading people is hard. It's difficult. And I can get that spirit of the spies that says, we can't do this. You might as well quit. And we hear the statistics that about 600 pastors a month get out of the ministry. It's hard. We all face things that are hard. Churches around the world, I mean, there's just hundreds of churches around the world that close every month. Why? Because it's hard. And there's things in your life that are hard. I know it. Because we're people. And we deal with people. We deal with situations. What kind of spirit do you have? Are you going to give up and quit and say, I can't do it. I just can't do this anymore. I know, God, You promised. And I know, God, You called me to do something. But I just can't do it anymore. I give up. I'm going to tap out. We can't tap out. What kind of spirit do you have? You have the spirit of Caleb. I'm confident, God, not because of who I am, because I'm weak, man. God, I don't know if I can make it through one more day, one more week of pastoring that church. I don't know if I can even do it one more month. But God, I can't. But if I hook up with You and my confidence is in You, I can and I will get up every day and fight the fight. I believe that, God, all things are possible. God, I believe that if You said it, I believe it. I'm going to just go with You. You got to decide in your life what kind of spirit you're going to have, what kind of attitude you're going to have. Now, I'm speaking to people of all ages, young people, middle-aged people, older folks. We got to have this spirit. I love Caleb. At 85, he had the spirit he had when he was 40. He said, God, give me that land. And they went in and he fought for that land at age 85. He led his army to the victory. Read about it in the book of Joshua. What kind of spirit will you have? Let's bow our heads. How many people would love to have the spirit of Caleb? If that's you right now, I just want you to stand up. No one else stand up because they're standing up. You just feel like God's doing something in your life right now, and you just want to have, you need right now, in a moment of your life, you just need that in you. Just stand up to your feet right now. I want to pray with you. And I want you to pray with me. Father, I just come before You this morning. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your promises. I thank You for who You are, Father. You're the Almighty God, the everlasting Father. All power is in Your name. And Lord, I just pray for myself and I pray for everyone that's on their feet right now. I just ask, God, that You would be with them, that You would put us in us the spirit of Caleb. God, I pray that You would place within us Godfidence, not in who we are, but in who You are, that we would be people who are so dependent upon Your strength, upon Your power, upon Your promises. And Father, I just pray for those who right now, it just seems like they're going through a season where they might want to be given up. I just pray that they won't give up, that they'll never give up. But God, I just pray that You would infuse them with Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that they'll be able to say, I can, we will, we'll go forward. And Lord, I just pray for them today. Strengthen them. Give them courage. I pray, God, that they will sense that they're not alone, but You are with them. And when You are with them, they become the majority. When You are with them, they can do the things that You have called them to do. May I be aware of Your presence, Lord. I will go. I can because of You. Be with us in our weeks, we pray. And everyone said, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.